Be
Minnesota
good.
Court of
Thank you. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Marshall, please.
The Minnesota Court of Appeals is now in session. Judge Sleater, Judge Gaidas, Judge Kirk, the Honorable Randall J. Sleater presiding.
And good morning. This is November 4. This is the first of our three oral matters that we'll be considering this morning. File A210524, Minnesota State Patrol Supervisors Association versus John Harrington et al., who are the appellants. And counsel, the process is pretty much what you're used to now via digital and remote that we do. You can see the clock in one corner, hopefully, of your screen. If any time we lose you due to the technology, then the clock will stop and we'll resume when we get you back on. We do ask that you identify yourself by name at the beginning of your comments. And I'll just note for the record that no recording is allowed. We will have the matter on the Judicial Branch website because it is being recorded by the branch within 24 hours. And so, counsel for appellant, when you are ready, you may identify yourself and proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. Janine Kimball on behalf of appellants. Lieutenants were not entitled to the 2020 trooper salary increase because these lieutenants are sergeants who were simply renamed in 1983. The parties agree the definition in section 299D.03 subdivision 2 provides the definition of patrol trooper for purposes of interpreting the 2020 trooper salary increase law. That definition has been the same for over 40 years. That definition says sergeants are not patrol troopers. These respondents, lieutenants, were the sergeants until they were renamed lieutenants in 1983. In other words, lieutenants are simply sergeants by another name. Respondent does not dispute this central premise. Instead, respondent argues that this title change on its own had a dispositive effect on whether these employees remained the sergeants identified under the statute and excluded from the definition of patrol trooper. The parties agree the executive branch started calling staff sergeants lieutenants in 1983. Appellants should prevail on this appeal because calling sergeants lieutenants does not undo the legislature's determination that those individuals are not patrol troopers. Briefly, an understanding of classification matters. A class title.
Ms. Kimball, can I just interrupt you? I'm sorry. Yes. Since the parties agree that the statute's unambiguous and that therefore the parties agree that we look solely at the words of the statute. And by the way, this is also premised on the agreement, I believe, that the bonding bill itself did not provide any more identification other than patrol troopers, as I understand it. If this was a multiple choice question on the bar exam, and I hate to bring back bad memories for everybody, and the question was who was included, and if I circled lieutenant by the definition of statute, I fear I would fail in that bar exam multiple choice question. Because isn't it not correct? Am I correct? The lieutenant is not defined in the exclusion. Therefore, they're a Minnesota State Patrol trooper according to that statutory definition. And so can you help me understand how I would pass that bar exam question?
Your Honor, because sergeants are excluded. And so then the question is, who are sergeants? And in this case, it is undisputed that these lieutenants were sergeants as of 1983, when the definition of patrol trooper was the same. It has stayed the same for 40 years. And I also just want to highlight that whenever the court is faced with a question of how to interpret a statute, the court is often required to look beyond the specific statute to understand what the statute means. Courts often look at dictionaries, for example, which are plainly not the statute themselves, but are outside sources to understand what the definition means. And here, no one has put forward a dictionary definition. What we have put forward is an explanation of why these lieutenants are simply sergeants. And I think another way to look at this question is, lieutenants have come to the court asking for mandamus, arguing that they are troopers. The lieutenants need to show that they aren't sergeants, and we've presented undisputed evidence that they were sergeants in 1983 and that all the executive branch did was a title change. And I just want to highlight the absurdity of plaintiff's view here, respondent's view here, that the executive branch, by merely changing the title of an employee, can change where that employee falls in a statutory classification. And so respondents' view, if it prevails, means that as of 1983, the day before the title change, this entire class of employees were not troopers. And then all of a sudden, when MMB decided to call them something different, their designation as a trooper then, or as not a trooper, changed. And that is just, that's just absurd that the executive branch would have that authority. And I think that's highlighted by the fact yes, Your Honor.
I'm still a little unsure why they'd have to prove that they're not a sergeant. They just need to prove they're a lieutenant, and no one's disputing that they are lieutenants. Am I correct? And the statute, well, let me just ask it a little differently. Would you agree that the plain language of that statute includes lieutenants as patrol troopers? If you all you look at are the words of the statute.
I do not, because I do not. Our position is that these lieutenants, they're only called lieutenants because that's what the executive branch has titled them.
But aren't we left with that fact, though? So the executive branch has chosen to call them lieutenants. They are lieutenants. And isn't it true that lieutenants are not in the exclusion of that statute? Therefore, they're a patrol trooper by that statute.
No, Your Honor, because the executive branch cannot change where a classification, where a class of employees falls merely by changing the title. I'll provide a different example. Statutes prescribe certain salaries for administrative law judges. If MMB decided to change what they call administrative law judges to hearing officers, that does not mean that all of a sudden those hearing officers would be able to have a different salary. And that's exactly the result that respondent is advocating for here. And I think respondent's response brief highlights how respondent agrees with MMB's position. Respondent argued in their response, well, respondent says appellants could not have simply changed the title of lieutenant back to sergeant in response to the 2020 trooper salary increase. The reason for, and we agree that, I mean, while MMB could have changed the name, but the name itself by the executive branch wouldn't change whether those individuals were considered troopers or not troopers. Since before 1983, this class of employees, which by the way has a classification number, that classification number has stayed the same. It is now lieutenant. For that whole period, these individuals have not been troopers, and they're not troopers merely because the executive branch's decision to change the title did not change the fact that they are not troopers. And I want to highlight also the fact that a title change simply changes the name. It doesn't change the purpose or major function or required qualifications of the position.
Counsel, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. What kind of a windfall will these 20-something lieutenants enjoy if the district court's order or findings continue?
So our position is none, because as of 2021, when the law enforcement salary increase was passed, all of these lieutenants received, the legislature fixed the problem that was identified by Senator Dibble in the questioning at the legislative hearing, that there are all these supervisors of troopers who weren't getting a pay raise. So in 2021, the legislature fixed that problem and made that 8.4% pay increase retroactive to the same date that the 2020 bonding bill was effective. And so our position is the 2020 bonding bill, that language of the trooper pay increase was rescinded, and they've already gotten their pay increase. They were entitled to it. It was retroactive pursuant to the 2021 law enforcement pay increase bill.
But wouldn't they get the extra 8.4%?
No. No,
and it seems like the other side disagrees with you on that, just noticing the facial expression.
I believe that they do, and it just doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, if that was true, then do the troopers also get an extra 8.4% because they got the 13-something percent increase that was retroactive and then an extra 8.4. I mean, clearly that's not at all what the statute was designed to do. The statute
got rid. Just to follow up on that, Ms. Kimball, I follow up Judge Kirk's question. Isn't it true that number one, the 2021 bonding bill is not before us, but in any event, it did not explicitly replace the 2020 bonding bill that is before us. So that bonding bill is, the issue is not moot, in other words, in the sense that the bonding bill from 2020 was never replaced. Am I correct about that?
I believe that it was, and it was, the language was rescinded, not the whole bill. It was a portion of it, right? That's a massive bill, but this portion of it was rescinded. Yes.
Go ahead, Judge.
If you're right, though, counsel, wouldn't this make our whole efforts here moot?
So in appellant's position is that an exception to the mootness doctrine should apply because this argument is fully briefed. The court can still analyze it. And I did have a couple cases that I will look for. So the Schmaltz case is 1-945 Northwest 2nd 46. Respondent cites a different case, the Rudd case, which is 359 Northwest 2nd 573. It's functionally justiciable if the record contains the raw material traditionally associated with effective judicial decision making. And I just want to highlight appellant's view that if this court was to conclude that this case is moot, appellant strongly encourages the court to consider vacating the district court order under the Munsingware principle that applies in federal court. We did cite a couple of Minnesota state appellate judges who have looked favorably on that standard because the action by the 2021 legislature to give this 8.4% increase to the lieutenants retroactively was outside of our control, which respondent agrees. It was outside of the party's control and really made it so that appellants lost the ability to challenge that on appeal. So if the court concludes this case is moot, appellants strongly encourage the court to vacate the decision below because it was erroneous and could have an impact on other cases. And I think that the standard in the Munsingware line of cases, I think should be persuasive and this court should consider. Respondent wants this court
Ms.
to
Kimball,
ignore.
Before you leave that, what I missed in the record, so maybe you can point to me, was there language in the 2021 bill that specifically replaced, or in other words, vacated, should I say, which it literally would seem it would have to do the 2021 bonding bill that relates to the patrol trooper funding that we're talking about, the 8.4%, in order for it to be moot? And if that is the case, did anyone raise that issue to the district court?
So the 2021 law passed after the district court's order. So no, it wasn't raised with the district court. There is a repealer section. So it's the 2021 laws, first special session, chapter 5, article 1. I'm sorry, article 3. Section 6, the repealer, repeals laws 2020, 5th special session, chapter 3, article 9, section 6. Which is exactly what we're just talking about today. That is the section that says state patrol troopers need a salary increase of 8.4%. So there is a repealer, yes, Your Honor. Respondent has finally appeared to, sorry, I'm gonna move on just briefly to talk about, even if the statute was ambiguous, there are two reasons why the same result that appellant's view prevails. First, the legislative history of the 2020 trooper salary increase law and the 2021 law enforcement increase. The legislative history of the 2020 trooper salary increase law clearly shows that lieutenants were not included in the individuals who would be getting the trooper increase. First of all, one iteration specifically mentioned a labor contract, and there is no bargained for labor contract for lieutenants. Second, the very enlightening exchange between Senator Dibble and Trooper Joe Delwo, where Senator Dibble says, hey, isn't this a problem? Supervisors aren't getting the raise. And then second, the 2021 law enforcement salary increase, there would have been no reason to give supervisors such as lieutenants the 8.4% increase retroactively if they had indeed already gotten the pay increase from the 2020 trooper salary increase law. And so lieutenants, the position of appellants is lieutenants are simply sergeants by another name. They are not patrol troopers, and they were not entitled to the salary increase in the 2020 trooper salary increase law. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. And you'll have 5 minutes of rebuttal if you choose. And counsel will for respondent, as soon as you see the clock at 15, you may identify yourself and proceed. Thank you.
Your Honor, may it please the court and opposing counsel, my name is Grant Chabot. I am an attorney representing the State Patrol Supervisors Association. For my time today, I first like to address the plain meaning argument. I'll next turn to the mootness question that Your Honor's raised, because I believe that I've got some insight on that. And then finally, I can turn to the third question, which is, you know, whether we should probe legislative intent outside of the plain meaning of the statute. It's our position that that's unnecessary because the statute is crystal clear here. MnSTAT 299D03 subdivision 2 has an express list of classifications that are not patrol troopers. And, you know, not to read the statute on the record, but each employee other than the chief supervisor, lieutenant colonel, majors, captains, corporals, and sergeants hereinafter designated shall be known as patrol troopers. So the court's role here in interpreting the statute, the first stage is just to look at that text. And as Judge Sleater pointed out earlier, it's to interpret what that text means and whether or not it is ambiguous on its face. And appellant's argument here that this statute is somehow ambiguous simply makes no sense. This is an express list of positions and ranks within the State Patrol, which are not patrol troopers. Lieutenants are not on that list. And that that should end the court's analysis here. Now, importantly, the lieutenant rank has existed since 1983, and Section 299D03 has been amended 18 times in that period, but at no point have lieutenants been added to this exclusionary list. So when looking at this question, you know, first we look at the plain meaning and see whether or not this is ambiguous, and it's our position that this is not ambiguous, especially when you look at the canons of construction, specifically expressio unius, not to, you know, get too law school-y with it again or bar exam-y with how we intend to analyze the statute. But when there's an express list of terms which are excluded from a group, it applies, you know, even stronger that anything not on that list is included in the group. And therefore, when the 2020 bonding bill provided a pay increase to State Patrol troopers, and when we are looking at 299D03 to determine what a State Patrol trooper is, it cannot reasonably be stated that patrol troopers does not include lieutenants. So, you know, appellant's argument would have, you know, some more merit if 299D03 referred to class titles, because appellant has taken great length to try to draw a distinction between a class title and, you know, a rank or what the term is commonly known as. And here, that's not what the statute says. The statute just says each employee other than these delineated ranks. And one other point that was raised at the district court below, I believe we raised it in our respondent's brief, but it's never been addressed, is that there are still employees with the rank of sergeant within the State Patrol. So appellant's argument seems to boil down to that some sergeants are lieutenants and other sergeants are sergeants, but that has no basis in the statutory text, and the statutory text is what should govern our analysis here. because the text is unambiguous, you know, we don't need to go into legislative intent. I think if you do go to legislative intent, especially in light of the recent 2021 session law, it actually does show that the legislature intended here for this to cover lieutenants, and we can turn to that, but I'd first like to address the mootness argument, which was raised earlier.
Can I just clarify, Mr. Jibbo, before you do that, do you agree that the legislature, if it had defined, for instance, the recipients based on their classifications as set forth by their either the bargaining unit or however it would be, they had a way, in other words, where they could have included in the bonding bill a definition outside of this statutory definition and instead based on supervisor versus non-supervisory role. Would you agree with that proposition?
So if I can rephrase your question, just so I understand it, Your Honor, if the legislature had included a supervisory or non-supervisory split in the bonding bill 2020, if that would change the result, 100%, yes, it would. But that's not what the legislature did. And the legislature clearly knows how to do that, because if you look at the 2021 session law, that's how it delineated the two different pay increases. First, it paid the pay increase to supervisors and managers, which is the 2021 pay increase to the lieutenants. But then it also provided the second 13.2% pay increase to troopers who are in positions represented by the MLEA bargaining unit, so the Minnesota Law Enforcement Association bargaining unit. But that's not what the 2020 bonding bill, which is before us today, did. And also one important distinction, you know, inherent in appellant's argument that the 2020 bonding bill was intended to make this supervisory, non-supervisory split, is if you look at the positions that are listed in 299 DO3 subdivision 2, captains and sergeants are still listed in that, you know, in the exclusionary list from state patrol troopers. And captains, and I believe the employees with the class title of technical sergeant and station sergeant are in the MLEA bargaining unit. So the supervisor, non-supervisory, you know, distinction is not the intent behind 299 DO3, even if we get there. But, you know, for the purposes of appropriate analysis, we don't even get to that question because the statute is unambiguous on its face. So we don't need to try to be a mind reader as to what the legislature intended, because we have that text in front of us, which is expressed in who is and who is not included.
Counsel Beck, those four decades ago when this change in title to lieutenant arose, did anything change about their job description or responsibilities at that time, or was it merely a label change?
I believe it was simply a title reclassification to bring the ranks of the patrol into a more militaristic structure. But it, you know, it's hard to tell, because when we're looking at what the legislature intended, we should look at what the legislature intended when they were passing the 2020 bonding bill. And they were clearly aware, because 299 DO3 was referenced in, you know, previous session laws, that that was the definition of state patrol trooper that was going to be used for compensation purposes in the bonding bill. So, you know, the question of what happened in 1983 is largely academic, because what matters for our intents and purposes is what did the legislature mean when they passed the 2020 bonding bill, not what did the legislature mean, you know, if we went back in time 40 years. So turning, Your Honors, to the mootness question, it's our position that this appeal is not moot. And just to answer your question of how the 2021 session law, I guess, worked technically, is it's correct that there's a repealer provision in the 2021 session law, but you need to read that repealer provision in conjunction with the effective date of the 2021 session law itself. So essentially, the 2020 bonding bill was repealed by the 2021 session law, effective, and I'm going to read here from it, the day following final enactment of the 2021 session law itself. So the 2021 session law did not go back and remove the bonding bill from the period when it was effective, which is from October, I believe, 22nd, 2020, through the date following final enactment. And I don't have that date in front of me, but it's sometime in June 2021. So during that period, the 2020 bonding bill was still effective. And to put it another way, Your Honors, I do not believe that the legislature would have had the ability to retroactively revoke this law in this case, because these employees performed work with an expectation that they would have an 8.4% salary increase under the 2020 bonding bill. And again, this isn't an issue before us other than the mootness argument, but the legislature can't retroactively go back and, you know, decrease someone's pay for work that's already been performed. And I believe that that's why the 2021 session law is crafted the way that it is. So as far as the effective date of the law, the 2020 bonding bill that we're fighting about now has a discrete period. And that period is from October when it was passed until June when it was repealed by the 2021 session law on a going forward basis. But to answer your Honor's question, you know, is it absurd for the legislature to give two pay increases to frontline employees working during the pandemic, you know, working overtime with respect to civil unrest in the metro area? I don't believe that that's absurd. They're two separate laws and they deal with two separate pay increases. And that's why we're still here today, because there's a discrete period where the 2020 bonding bill is still effective. The issue of the 2021 pay increase is not before the court right now. It's my understanding that appellants have elected this time to comply with the legislature's mandate and increased the state patrol trooper pay. But those are two separate issues. But for our intents and purposes, this appeal 100% is not mooted, because my clients have a recognized interest in receiving compensation for the work that they've already performed.
Mr. Jabal,
will your clients enjoy then a windfall compared to the regular patrol officers who aren't supervisors?
I would say that they, you know, so just with one caveat, and then Judge Sleater, I'm sorry, I know that there was another question as well, but so with one caveat, I don't represent the State Patrol troopers who are members of the MLEA bargaining unit, so I don't want to speak to their rights. But that being said, I don't think that my clients are receiving a windfall, and I haven't analyzed the issue with respect to the State Patrol troopers in the MLEA bargaining unit, but this logic should apply to them as well. And if they, you know, were to bring a claim, I believe that they would have the same basis that my clients do, in that the 2020 bonding bill is effective still from, you know, October until June, and the 2021 session law is effective from October going forward. I don't believe that it's a windfall for my clients.
But didn't the new statute give retroactive pay back to October 1 of 2020?
Correct.
That's a windfall.
I don't believe it's a windfall, Your Honor.
Well, it's double dipping.
But Your Honor, it's not double dipping. It's two separate laws providing a pay increase.
Yeah, but we're talking about taxpayers' dollars and what was intended, particularly by the legislature here.
So if the legislature had intended, because again, that's the main focus of our question, for the pay increase to not, you know, include that that October to June period, the legislature could have crafted the law to accomplish that goal. They could have had the pay increase under the 2021 session law go forward from that period on in order to encompass that. But here, it's not the role of the executive branch and it's not the role of the courts to go beyond what the plain meaning of the statute says if it's unambiguous. And here, if we follow the text of the statute, whether it's the 2020 bonding bill or the 2021 session law, the plain result is clear that both of those pay increases are separate, you know, other than the fact that the 2021 session law repealed the 2020 bonding bill on a going forward basis, effective after the 2021 session law went into effect. So yes, Your Honor, are these taxpayer dollars? Everything that the executive branch does, you know, is justified by tax dollars, but the legislature elected to give two pay increases to State Patrol officers. And we are, you know, at this right now, it's the executive branch's job to implement that pay increase. It's not, you know, their job to second guess what the legislature cleanly and plainly stated.
I'm going to ask you a broader question than Mr. Jabal, but it does kind of dovetail off what Judge Kirk indicated, because the phrase that comes to my mind, if I'm repeating what you're saying, is that you're saying it's a lawfully enforced windfall. But you don't need to answer that necessarily, but that's kind of how I interpret how you answered Judge Kirk's question. But my broader question, this really more curiosity, because it fits into all of this, but it might show my ignorance of the legislative process. Is it common in a bonding bill to fund salaries?
That's a good question, Your Honor. I don't know. I mean, I believe so, just based on my review of the 2020 bonding bill itself. There are other provisions that I believe apply to like a DNR officer or something, but you know, I don't want to speak fully on that because I don't know. But Your Honor, I still take take issue with the characterization that it's a, you know, even a legal windfall. I don't believe that it's a legal windfall. It's, there was a pay increase that was, you know, given to employees, and these employees aren't just getting, you know, free money for not doing anything. They worked hours with the expectation that their salaries were going to be increased by 8.4% under the 2020 bonding bill. And, you know, that's why we're here today. The issue of the 2021 session law is a completely separate issue. Other than the fact that, you know, it's this kind of nebulous mootness argument, but that's, you know, that's not the case. Both the parties agree that it's not moot, and it's our position that there is, you know, an interest that can be recovered by the lieutenants in this case. So it's not as if the legislature tried to do, you know, a one-time, here's a good example. If the 2020 bonding bill were, instead of giving a salary increase, were to give a one-time hero pay, or, you know, however they tend to classify these, and it was supposed to be a one-time bonus for these employees working during the pandemic. And then the 2021 session law came back and did another, you know, one-time bonus. That might be a different situation, but here it's these employees are out working with an expectation of a certain salary that they did not receive because of appellant's refusal to comply with the law. And because of that, Your Honor, we ask that the court follow exactly what the district court did below, apply the plain meaning of the text, and, you know, don't look beyond the statute when you don't need to look beyond the statute, because the case law is extremely clear that that's the proper role of the court in a situation like this. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, counsel. And respondents, counsel, you now have 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honors. I'd first like to address the argument by a respondent that, you know, lieutenants have been around since 1983, and sort of implying that the legislature was somehow required to change the definition of patrol trooper because of that. You know, the legislature isn't required to change a statutory definition in response to changes by the executive branch in terms of titling classes. There's no principle.
Thank you, Ms. K. That kind of triggered a question I had intended to ask you earlier when you referenced the executive branch and the legislature. The legislative meaning, you agree with the proposition that we presume the legislature knows of its other legislation. So here they are aware of the definition in the statute of patrol troopers. And therefore, when they don't define it differently, they knew what they were doing. Is that a fair legal proposition? And so the only change that occurred here was the executive branch. And so the executive branch could undo their change if they chose to, but the legislative intention has never changed since 1983. The definition by the statute has never changed. Is that a fair proposition?
So I agree that the legislature is generally aware of laws. And here the question is an interpretation of a law that's been around, and the definition of patrol trooper has not changed since 1983. There was an implication that the statute had changed, not the definition, not the language that the court is analyzing here. That definition has not changed. And I just want to emphasize how, again, there's no principle of law or statute that requires the legislature to change its own statutes because of changes in class title. There are 1,200 different class titles across the state. There would be more sort of working titles. There's just no mechanism whereby the legislature would be required, one, to know of the class change, and two, then have to amend the statute to respond, and which statute, all statutes, some statutes. And then the MMB could just go and change the name again right after the statute was changed. So that's just procedurally, it doesn't make any sense. And I'll just also emphasize that the legislature has given MMB the authority to change class titles, which is pretty inconsistent with the notion that the legislature would be required to know about each of those and then go back and change statutory definitions throughout time. The most relevant—
Ms. Kimball,
yes, sir.
Following up on that, though the legislature doesn't have to, isn't this 2021 bonding bill an example of how they could have worded it in the 20 bonding bill, but obviously didn't do it, so they wouldn't have to undo it. But we still nevertheless have the 2020 bonding bill. Assuming you agree with the reason Mr. Jabot indicates that it's not moot, is there's about a 7 or 8 month period of salary that's based on that 2020 bonding bill that did not have the same definition the 2021 did.
So I don't agree with respondents' view on the back pay question, because the 2020 bill, that language was repealed. And Your Honors, gosh, I just lost the question. I'm so sorry. Can you repeat your question? I'm so sorry.
Well, the point being is that, if I understand, the legislature doesn't have to change, but they are aware of it. So in 21, they were aware of it consciously, at least by the bonding bill. So they did rephrase it to supervisor, unsupervisor. So that resolved the issue.
Thank you. So this legislature could always use a different definition. That is true. I think that's completely immaterial here. The legislature didn't define it. So we are relying in an undisputed fashion on a definition that has been around for 40 years. The legislature chose to characterize it differently in 2021. I don't think that has any impact on the plain meaning of a statute that's been around for 40 years. In closing, Your Honors, I will leave you with these words from William Shakespeare. "What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. Lieutenants are simply sergeants by another name. They are not patrol troopers, and they were not entitled to the salary raise in the 2020 trooper salary increase law. This court should reverse." Thank you.
Thank you. And I don't know that I've had Shakespeare in a closing comment yet, so that is one I'm going to remember. Thank you. Thank you to both counsel. We appreciate your briefing and responses to our questions today, and we will now take the matter under advisement. And you each have a good day.
Thank you.